sermon for this day is based off the gospel reading from John chapter 16, in which we hear this verse. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Finally, the verse we've been waiting for. A teaching of Jesus that says, whatever you ask for, it will be yours. You want to win the lottery? Just pray for it. Need a pay raise? Just pray for it. Want a new car? Just pray for it. I kind of sound like one of those salesmen on an infomercial when I talk like that. But is that what Jesus is saying here? Ask of the Father, and it will be given to you, that your joy may be full. Well, ask yourself, what brings you joy? Would it be winning the lottery, a new car, a pay raise, or some other worldly possession? The quick answer is, yes, Pastor, they would. My joy would be pretty full if I had millions of dollars in the bank. If you don't believe me, just try me. And that may be true to some extent. You would have joy for a little while. The new car smell, a bank account that never seems to diminish. But something happens when we pray for earthly things. And that is, we don't always get what we are praying for. And some of you might even say, Pastor, correction! I rarely get anything that I pray for. Then the devil swoops in, and in his typical deceitful, clever way, says, aha, God's word must not be true. Because he said, whatever you ask for, it will be given to you. You have prayed, you have not received. Therefore, why waste the time? Think about some of the objects that you've prayed for in the past. Even new cars become old. And as for money, it may seem as if it is that God who will solve all your problems, when in the end, he only gives you so many earthly treasures that you forget about heavenly ones. And that's just it. Scripture makes a very sharp distinction between earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. Those things that are fleeting and temporary versus those things that are heavenly and eternal. The difference couldn't be greater. Sure, earthly treasures may provide some semblance of joy for a little while, but the joy our Lord Jesus is talking about is something very, very different. It really is like comparing apples and oranges. Earthly joy to heavenly joy. Earthly treasures to heavenly treasures. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Brothers and sisters in the household of faith, I want you to know what it is specifically our Lord and our great God is promising you. Jesus is not saying that he is here first and foremost to give you every one of your heart's desires. That God really is one big giant cosmic bellhop here at your beck and call, ready to give you whatever it is you want. That's what we want. A God who will jump when we say jump. But thankfully, that is not who God is, and that is not what our God is promising here. Imagine for a moment. Imagine if God gave you everything your sinful, callous heart desired. Piles of money! Only for you to become consumed by greed and wealth, and therefore forget your neighbor and forget your God. An elevated position of power in the eyes of men, only for you to become devoured by pride and ego, forgetting your neighbor and forgetting your God. Christian, the truth is, sometimes our desires are nothing more than cravings of the sinful flesh. The flesh who wants nothing to do with God and everything to do with himself. And the last thing we need is food for the ravenous, sinful, craving flesh. The last thing we need is food for the sinner of all of us who never seems to get full. We kick and scream when God does not give us what we want, when it could be It could be. Our Lord and our God is being gracious and merciful, kind by not giving us something that he knows will be harmful to our souls, even if we can't see it. Remember, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Even still, we can't overlook this promise of our Lord, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus is talking about praying in his name, and he's talking about receiving a particular joy that only God gives, and he promises to give it. As to what kind of joy Jesus is talking about in the context of John 16, we only need to go back to last week's text, where in that text, Jesus said this, "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy." Now, I want you to think about all the things that cause you to be sorrowful. It's a long list, isn't it? The world is full of tragedies and calamities that cause us to weep and lament. Take death, for example. Death was never part of the divine plan. In the beginning, there was no death. When God fashioned creation by his spoken word, when God said creation is good, he made that declaration before mankind's dreadful fall into sin. We long for that time, I know. A time when there will be no more death, and we weep and we lament when we encounter that dreadful symptom of mankind's plunge into sin. Indeed, death causes us to be sorrowful, but here again Jesus promised, your sorrow will be turned into joy. Along with death, friends, a guilty conscience is also very powerful. Past sins have a habit of flaring up, reminding you of your mistakes, your failings as a Christian. Isn't it a bit unsettling that even something that took place way back in your past can come up every now and again, hanging in your mind, causing you to feel inadequate, depressed, sinful before your holy God? The word Satan, it means accuser. And he doesn't exactly have to work very hard to find things to accuse us of. No, God's almighty and powerful law does a fantastic job revealing to us our sins, our debt before our holy God. You think the U.S. deficit is bad? Our debt of sin is much worse. And so, Satan has plenty to accuse us of, and friends, his accusations work. His accusations work because they drive our consciences to guilt that eats away at the very marrow of our bones. What does a guilty conscience do? You know it. It tells you you are a sinner. Over and over. And over again. You're guilty. You are dead in your trespasses. If a conscience riddled with guilt, if a world filled with tragedy, lament, weeping, and crying, if all those things cause you to weep and lament, then I'm sorry. Earthly treasures are not going to help you in that area. Earthly joy will not help you get over the deep pain of guilt and all of those things that cause you to suffer and lament. The joy of Christ does. The joy that our Lord and our God promises you has overcome even the world. The gospel, it is the good news. It is the joy of Christ proclaiming unto you, peace be with you. Peace be with you. All of your sins I have taken up upon my body, and I have shed my blood to pay for all of those sins, so you don't have to. Therefore, you have my peace. Therefore, you have my forgiveness. Christian, God wants you to pray for this gift of joy always. Jesus tells us to pray in his name, asking for that fulfillment of joy that comes from having communion with God. Another word for that phrase, communion with God, is a word we find very often in Scripture. The word reconciliation. And to be reconciled only means that your sins do not separate you from your Lord and your God. Why? Because your sins, your debts have been paid for, washed away by the blood of our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. He has died once and for all for your sins. So brothers and sisters in Christ, you have his peace. You have his forgiveness. That is a joy we are talking about here. The joy of sins forgiven. The joy of life eternal. So I want to impress upon you the importance of prayer. I want to impress upon you our Lord's promise to hear your prayers. We can think of all sorts of reasons not to pray, right? I'm tired, I'm hungry, I got things to do. God doesn't hear me, he doesn't answer the way I want, so why bother? Maybe you even think that you're unworthy to pray. That compared to our big almighty God, you're like a little ant, etching out a meager existence just waiting to die. It's true if you think you are unworthy to pray. You are. I am. But people of God, let me say this. It has never been because of our worthiness that God hears our prayers. The reason God hears your prayers and your petitions, the reason the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the God who tells the wind where to blow and the waves where to crash, the reason why he hears your prayers is because, Christian, he has given you a promise. He has promised you that every prayer uttered in the holy, saving name of Jesus ascends to his throne of grace. Every cry of suffering, every lament, every prayer for grace and mercy, for help, every petition uttered in the saving name of Jesus, our Lord and our God, has promised to hear. And he always answers according to his good and gracious will, even if we can't quite see it on this side of the resurrection. He has made you a promise. And how else do we pray in the name of Jesus but by faith? By faith in the Son of God. Remember, faith grabs hold of the promise. And it is by faith one prays in the name for the fulfillment of joy that ultimately comes by being God's child in Christ Jesus. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. There is no better fulfillment of your joy than knowing you are a child of the Most High God by living in Christ. In this world you will have trouble. Make no mistake. And our Lord Jesus tells us that. You will have trouble. You will have tribulation. It might scare you. It might frighten you. It may bring you to your knees, and we never know what tomorrow is going to bring. It's okay. It's okay because Jesus has overcome the world. And he tells you whenever you pray in his name for the fulfillment of your joy, you will have it. You will have it by faith in this Son of God, who has overcome the world. His cross and his blood may look like, to the casual observer, defeat. He lost. But by faith, we know better. By faith, we look at the crucifixion of Jesus, and we see that by his shed blood, sins are forgiven. We hear his words, it is finished. By faith, we look at the cross, and we see that his sacred blood is the price paid for your sin and my sin, a price we don't have to pay, a price that grants us eternal life and the peace of sins forgiven. The guilty conscience, the devil's accusations, cannot overcome the child of God who has been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by his cross, his work, his resurrection, has overcome the world. Persecution, tribulation, martyrdom, yes, even death, is nothing in light of our Savior Jesus. Whenever you pray, this is the joy that God is promising you. The joy of peace, the joy of sins forgiven, the joy of eternal life won for you by the one who has overcome even the world. Amen.